Hi, everyone. I'm Nikki Porter.
And I'm Nadine Smith, and this is Canada Horse Podcast, brought to you by Informed Equestrian.
We strive to enhance the lives of horse owners by facilitating conversations that make people want to talk. Here on Canada Horse Podcast, we're spotlighting the Canadian horse industry while serving our mission to help bridge the knowledge gap for horse owners by offering the whys behind the decisions we make for our horses, from their tack to their trainers to their vet care and everything in between.
Our listeners are encouraged to use the information offered here on Canada Horse Podcast to make informed choices that suit their individual needs. We believe in education over judgment and informed choices over following the crowd.
This is episode 29 of Canada Horse Podcast. We have a topic to cover today that is going to resonate with many of you. We're talking about boarding horses. We have both boarded horses in the past, taking care of our own, and I currently take in horses with my husband for training, which of course means boarding. We also have a guest today who has a lot of experience with boarding and provides specialty care for other horse owners.
Hey everyone. Yes, our guest today is Adele Stewart, the owner and operator of Prime Equine, a boutique boarding facility located near Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Adele is an EquiHealth Canada Advanced Certified First Aid Instructor, Kinesiology and Craniosacral Technique Taping Practitioner, and she provides horse lovers with information on equine nutrition and hoof care. Prime Equine offers several products and services, including short-term, long-term board, and convalescent board, which we want to hear all about. Welcome, Adele.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to chat with you ladies.
I'm really excited that Nadine had to say some of those words in there and not me, because I would have just slaughtered that. Good job, Nadine. And welcome, Adele. Thanks for coming on.
You bet.
We were intrigued when we first saw that you provided boutique boarding. And before we ask all about the boarding services you provide, we'd like for you just to give a little more detail about what exactly Prime Equine is and what makes it different from the average boarding stable, because Nadine and I have known you through social media anyway for a while now, and we believe that what you do is quite unique.
Thanks. Yeah. So Prime Equine started, I boarded horses for many, many years before I even named my business. I actually finally got the confidence to name my business or to call it something when I did become certified as an equine first aid instructor. So I began that at about the same time I started my very first line of offering equine retail products. So that's when I actually had the confidence to call myself something. So Prime Equine started out, we do the boutique boarding. We also have expanded into offering our own line of courses and consults, as well as now a full line. I think we're over 8 or 9 premium lines of equine retail products, but it all started like 10 or 11 years ago with me just opening my home to board horses to help pay some of the hay bills.
I mean, that is so cool. Hearing all about what you do and looking at your website, there's so much that you do, especially when it comes to boarding. So can you just give us an understanding of what boutique boarding means to you and what actually is convalescent care when it comes to horses?
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know if boutique boarding is a thing. I decided, you know, there's all these boutique retailers popping up and things like that. And I was like, hey, we've always advocated that we try to be different when we board horses. So some of the reasons that I started, you know, ticking off boxes of saying, can I coin this phrase boutique boarding or whatnot, was that, you know, really from the onset, is my biggest passion is keeping horses in the most natural habitat that we can for them. And being able to offer that, I found it wasn't always offered. There was a bit of a gap between that in other boarding facilities. So I wanted to create something that had owners feeling like my house is how they may keep their own horses. And some of the ways that we do that are we're boutique because we have a very small number of horses. So we're on, we have just over 80 acres here, and we never have more than 15 horses on the property. So and they're also split into two different herds. So there's usually 6 or 7 or 8 horses per herd. And what that amount of land with that little of animal on it gives us is the ability that they are out, horses being horses, and they, for our full grazing season, that's their primary forage. So they are eating grass and twigs, and they're in the bush and all of those types of things. You know, so they really, they have their perimeter fences, but they're able to do that. Another different thing that we do is that it's not the perfect fit for everybody because our horses live in mixed herds. So I've done a lot of research and attended a lot of symposiums and things like that, and listened to a really amazing researcher. Her name will escape me, but she's from the University of Pennsylvania Equine Program. And they found that through their research that a mixed herd moves more. So with the amount of land that we have, and mixing our herds together, allowing there to be a herd mare and a lead gelding and all of these types of things, they do a lot more traveling. So those were kind of the first things that ticked off a couple of those boxes. Interspersed with that is that we have quite a bit of land and we are under a 10-minute drive from the city. So people don't have to travel very far from their home to come out to us. But some of the other things we do are the way we introduce horses to our herds. So we take a 10 to 14 day process of having a horse introduced to their new herd. So they come and they get to know each other over 5-foot high fences, very safe fences, and they get to meet both of the herds in the pens that we have. So they come into about 20 by 40 pens. For that time period where I get to source out which herd are they going to mix better with, what are the dynamics and that type of thing. And then we have kind of a whole protocol that we do from there when we introduce them, how we introduce them, all of those things that we've actually done a vlog and a blog on. So I won't get too much into it. But yeah, a couple of the other things without going too far off, but we provide straw for our horses in the winter, so they're all bedded down. We do provide hay testing for all of our forage every winter and provide that just free of charge to everybody boarding here. I do nutrition consults if they would like that, but we just want to be really transparent with the quality of hay we have. We do a lot of pen cleaning, so we only usually keep horses in pens if they have a medical reason for that. But aside from that, we clean our corrals and our pens every time we put a bale out and all of that stuff. So the horses are never standing on, you know, the frozen manure piles and things like that. And then this year, we just are starting to offer exercise programs. We have a 60-foot free walker, so we're able to help horses exercise. And then that ties into that respite and convalescent care if somebody needs short-term boarding. I was once an owner who had, you know, catastrophic injuries in my horses in the middle of winter and didn't have the facility to take care of them, didn't have a barn, didn't have running water in the barn all year round and that type of thing. So now we have the pens available or indoor board available. And then with my background in the equine first aid, can care for horses if they need that at any point in time of the year.
Okay. That is so good to hear. Exactly what you consider to be boutique boarding. And I understand that it is a kind of a keyed term that you've kind of worked with because it is so unique to you. And it's funny because when I think boutique boarding, I think like in the barn. So I love that you've clarified that it's actually this specialized boarding that really goes with the natural way of the horse, and that is what your focus really is to be able to integrate those horses into a lifestyle that is most natural for them. So I'm probably not the only one to hear the term boutique boarding and to think specialized care within a barn. Okay, so I love it. That's fantastic. Thank you so much for clarifying. Taking into consideration that you offer some specialty services that aren't typical for a boarding barn, what would you say are the typical services and costs of boarding in your area of Canada? And I'd love to compare them with what we see most often here in the Maritimes.
Yeah. So what we usually see here, you know, we see everything from just a simple, if you want pasture board. So that's kind of like, that's where I'm a little bit unique, as you guys, odd, you know, whatever you want to put it, but in that, you know, sometimes there's just pasture board where it's automatic waters and a pasture and hay. And, you know, a boarding facility like that, more of like a backyard boarding, I think that would be what it's called, would, you know, run you in that, $2,250 range, possibly per month out here. So with the current, you know, most recent years prices of hay, we've been in a drought, but, from there, if you want to be in more of an indoor facility, so pasture board with access to a barn with an indoor arena, you're looking probably around that $500 a month for just your basic care, feeding them, making sure they have water and then access to that barn. And then the one piece of that is that there's usually that barn will have lessons. So if you want to ride as an owner, where you're going to have to work around the lesson schedule and things like that to have access to the indoor.
Yeah. So I think there's definitely some similarities between what you guys have out west in Western Canada and what we have here. Probably the biggest difference is there's more land out there. So you probably see more of that pasture board and then just turned out on the back 40 than we would here. We definitely have full board and part board, but you most often see things like a stall available for overnight and horses turned out during the day, or they're out 24/7 during the summer. And then they would most often be given like hay 2 to 3 times a day, turn out individual or in a group. Usually there's an outdoor arena. The stalls are usually cleaned once or twice a day. Feed and supplements are usually administered once or twice a day. So that would be what I would consider like the most often seen around here. Would you agree, Nikki?
Yeah, I agree. Exactly what you're saying in the sense that we're not going to have that, you know, back 40. I know there's some places, Nadine, that have that, but definitely less common than your turnout paddocks and the ability maybe for those horses to go out for some time. But mostly horses would be boarding, would be a lot of indoor boarding facilities.
Well, I mean, yes and no. Like some places would only have an outdoor arena. Some places would have an indoor and an outdoor, or just the indoor. And some places have turnout and some places don't. So it's when I first came here, trying to find a place that actually was taking on boarders with an indoor arena was kind of challenging, actually. Yeah. So there are some other things, maybe Nikki, you want to go over the things that, and maybe Adele, you could add on that would be sometimes offered, but not always offered. But that if you're looking for, I guess we're going through this list for people that are interested in boarding, or they're kind of checking out their options. And there are some things that are sometimes offered around here that I would see as a bonus.
Oh yeah, for sure. Especially if you're looking at the price of boarding and saying like, okay, well, let's actually weigh what are the pluses and negatives of different facilities. Those first things that we talked about, those are some pretty bare minimum, like that. Those are expectations. Some places don't have an arena at all, but they do have trails or they do have a field. And that's all individual preference. The sometimes would definitely be an indoor arena, trails for you to be able to go if they don't have an arena, lessons provided, whether that lesson be actually included in the board. Some places that I know of within their board, they actually expect you to be taking lessons with their instructor. Free choice hay, options for hay nets, blanketing, especially this time of year, that's a huge plus. We have plus temperatures today and it's going down to minus 30 tonight. So, you know, that's something to really take into consideration. Access to pastures, obstacles, training or jumps, training equipment or jumps, and then wash bays. That would be like your sometimes. Would you consider the same, Adele?
Yeah, I think we're very similar on that. And, you know, everything with an add-on, right? So usually we'll see, because we have more of those pasture boarding facilities, you'll see blanketing and feed or supplementation probably at a higher additional cost per month, you know, because if I'm not in the barn just putting on a blanket before a turnout to a pen, I mean, I might have to walk to the back of the 30-acre pasture to do that. So there you'd see some price differences if a boarding facility will offer that on pasture board. So it is something that that we do. So, but the cost then associated with that is higher as well.
So two things here. Blanketing was one of the things that when I was boarding that I could not wait to get my horses home so that I could blanket my horses when I wanted, how I wanted. Not that the border or the boarding facility that I was at was doing it in a way I didn't like, but it's just something that it's an individual preference. And the, like you said, Nikki, the temperature changes so much so often. So here at home, I change my horses' blankets twice a day. They have indoor sheet, like stable blankets on when I take them inside, and then I switch them and put them into their outdoor blankets. And so I'm constantly switching blankets, and I only have two horses and it's a pain. But every time I think to myself, like, oh, this is annoying, I think this is why I wanted them home. So I could put their cushy fleece lined blankets on at night and not have wither sores or them not be sweating under these hot blankets when they come in, you know? So it's definitely a privilege if you are at a boarding stable that offers that service, and absolutely worth extra fee. Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of time. The other thing I was thinking of too is when you look at the amount of horses that are at the facility, you know, it's nice to be able to look at if you have a horse that does require a higher amount of care, if they're going to a facility with a lot of horses, that's a challenge to be able to offer that, and the price might then increase. Do you see that as well, where if you are looking to have your horse supplemented or medicated, that the price actually changes?
Yeah, absolutely. If there are special feed requirements, it is very common that there's an additional charge for that, for whether they're in a pen or the pasture or whatnot. Quite a significant charge for that, especially when you have to pull them out of their herd, lock them up in a pen so they can eat their grain away from the other ones and things like that. So that's where it gets really individualized and honestly quite expensive. And a lot of people choose to do it themselves. We offer it, but we already operate kind of for donation of time. So a lot of owners choose to do it themselves, but it would be an add-on for sure.
Well, and just things like that people might not think about. For example, one time my horse got a cut on his leg and he needed antibiotics and he needed that bandage changed and things like that. And I think for the first few days, he was getting it three times a day, and we had to crush up that big pill, mix it with warm water, somehow get it into him. And sometimes it was me doing it, but if you're working or if you live an hour away from your barn, it's something that you do need to discuss with the barn owner in advance if they're willing to give those medical treatments if something like that does happen to your horse.
Absolutely.
The other thing, and we haven't really spoken about this, would be when there are appointments for horses, when the owner isn't able to be around. What I've discovered as a barn owner is the amount of time that care takes that maybe isn't really considered when it comes to the barn owner, because they or to the boarder, because they probably just feel like, oh, well, they're just there anyway. But it extends that day substantially because you're now there as that horse's caretaker, hands-on for multiple appointments.
Yeah. And I can't speak for all of the other barns. I haven't boarded in a long time, but that from the onset, a handling fee has been, I have charged a handling fee. And, you know, it's really hard, you know, because what goes through my head because I used to board as well, but so I'm really able to see both sides of the story. And there's a lot of times I catch myself as an owner going, oh, you did that as a boarder. But the one question that I ask myself that kind of takes the guilt away from me, because I am doing this because I love it and I love horses and I love sharing my property with other people. I love seeing the parking lot full. But I, you know, it goes through my head. I'm like, if someone asks me to do something or to attend an appointment or catch a horse, I'm like, it's just one horse, Adele. But the adage that I've added, I was like, what if every single owner asked me to do this? And if that then starts to add up hours, if not half days at a time, I charge even the one horse when they ask. So that's kind of how I've talked myself through the validation of having to charge a handling fee.
Oh my gosh, I love that you guys brought this up, because I have a completely different experience with this. And I think I love that you charge for it and that it's a thing, because in my previous boarding experience, I set up my own farrier appointments and I set up my own vet appointments. I was the only one going to be there. What we did do is we would coordinate. So, I mean, the farrier would come and maybe he would do 10 horses in a day, but I would be in touch with them saying, okay, well, when are you going to be doing my horse? Do you know, I'll make sure I show up and pay the farrier myself. And I'm the one that's going to be there with the vet holding my horse and things like that. So I think that comes down to, number one, if you have your horse in training, it's probably a little bit different. Like if you were just boarding Nikki and not training the horse, then it might be a little different. If I sent my horse to a trainer, I would expect that they would care for all of that stuff, because I would be hours and hours away. And then there would be a procedure that would be in the contract that our vet is going to see your horse, our farrier is going to see your horse, and things like that. I had planning to send my horse to a different boarding barn for a few months, and I've already been in touch with my farrier to say, do you mind coming to this other barn to see my horse for the two times that he'll be there for those couple months? So I think that is a communication thing. That is definitely something to put on that list when we talk about it in a little bit, of the do's, to find out what is the process when the vet comes. Is it a barn setup that the vet comes, or what if you only need the vet, and is that a service that's provided and at what cost?
Yeah, definitely. Why don't we talk about just some things around here that we feel are rarely seen or advertised, at least, but are some really great extras that we have seen provided at facilities in other places. And Adele, you can just let us know if these are extras that you see frequently in your part of Canada, or if it's something that you feel is quite rare as well.
Yeah. Okay. So these are kind of our dream list. Some of these we might have in our own barn. Some of these we have maybe seen. Some of them we've seen on TV and we just wish that it was an opportunity to have around here. So we have things like timed lights. I found a huge difference in my horse's coat when their lights are on from 6 a.m. until 10 p.m. I love it. Hot walker, inside wash bay, the medical care, mare care, a treadmill, heated lights, lamps, water therapy. Like, for example, we've seen in places in the South where they have, you know, where they can go, what's it called? Water therapy, where the horse is walking in water on a treadmill.
I don't know. They do that. They do. And I've seen it, but I don't know. Adele, do you know the official name for that?
Well, there's two, like there are saltwater spas, and then there are also water treadmills. So just depending on which you're looking for, but both do exist out here.
Oh yes. It's the saltwater spa that Matt Mills was talking about when we spoke to him. And then the last thing would be similar to what we were just talking about, routine visit from body work practitioners. So if you had somebody coming out regularly for chiro and massage therapy, that you didn't have to go looking for those appointments. They were just coming to you if you wanted them.
Yeah. What do you see? Are there anything, or is there anything on that list, Adele, that you see quite frequently out there, or are they quite rare as well?
So actually we're pretty blessed. I'm not sure that it is everyday boarding, but we have a number of facilities both in Saskatchewan and Alberta that are rehab centers. So that have the saltwater spas. There's also like a water hot walker. So they're swimming in a hot walker. We have that. We have cold the salt spas, we have treadmills. So we have a lot of those. They're more like your horse goes there for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month or whatnot, and then they come home. So they're more of like a vacation spot than an everyday, you know, boarding facility. But it's actually what we're working towards in terms of building out our boutique facility is, so we do organize what we call whole horse health days, where we bring in an osteopath, a dentist, we offer microcurrent, hoof care consults. So those happen. We started them last year, every 60 days, that then we now have become kind of a hub. We have people hauling in for vet days, and people hauling in from all over the province for these whole horse health days, that we'll be expanding. Like we'll have a solarium this year and things like that. So it's very much stuff that there's a gap because we will be the first ones that have that. And we do have the free walker. So it's not a hot walker, but because they can move freely inside about a 25 foot lane on a 60 foot walker. So definitely things that we are working to fill the gap in, but are blessed to have quite a few of those amenities that you guys mentioned.
That is awesome. And I'm so glad to hear that you do these horse health days and things. I just like lit up when I heard it. I really, really, what I'm hoping is that people from other parts of Canada and even the US hear these things and they think, oh, I could add that to my boarding program. You know, that is the kind of service that we need here in Atlantic Canada. I don't know of any rehab facility here.
No, that's exactly what I thought, Nadine, when she said that. We really don't have, and similar when we had the breeding conversation, we really don't have facilities that are set up for specialized care, not that that are really well known, because, you know, we're both, if they're here, we don't know about them. So we would love to know about them. If you have them, write to us. If you do, we don't know.
Advertising their services.
So, you know, I think the rehab, but also just that, that idea of having a place that you can send your horse to be able to go and have a day where they have all these things taken care of. I mean, we have people, because we're quite local to New Brunswick and Nova Scotia, we have people who will contact us and they'll meet their vet at our facility, but that's just because it's a concrete floor and it's a, we can make the barn warm for them. And it's an easy parking lot for people to bring their trailers in, but we don't have anything that then offers that next level to them for the day they bring their horses. So that, if you're listening and this is something that intrigues you, I think a lot of these specialized areas are things that could really help our equestrian industry here in the Maritimes.
Oh my gosh, if I had the money to invest in that, I would love to do that.
Yes, you would.
Okay, so, oh, and just to make a note, around here, I would say, and maybe Nikki, you can give your opinion, but I would say the board for what we've explained for full board is usually about $450 to $550 a month, may include taxes.
Yeah.
Or not. What would the full board be where you are, Adele?
Yeah, if you're talking like, because there are some stables that, you know, have the stalls with the inside and then the turnout in pens and stuff like that, that you're going to be looking about the same, $556 if they've got an indoor, most likely. So if it's just an outdoor with a barn in that level, you're probably like just under $450.
Okay, great. So let's take a little bit of a turn. I can imagine that all of us can come up with situations where something unpleasant has happened or that we would have liked to have been handled differently, whether we were boarding our own horses or caring for others. So let's just go over some situations that can come up that create conflict or stress in a boarding environment. And then maybe we'll cover some do's and don'ts for the horse and barn owner in order to create a great boarding relationship.
All right. So Adele, why don't we just start with, if you don't mind, just offering some examples as someone who has, like, you have a fair amount of boarders there, from what I understand. What would you say, just one piece of advice to offer the best boarding environment that you can think of?
The best boarding environment, I think just one thing, whether it's owners or boarders or anything like that, is that you can never sweep too much.
That's the best thing. Great answer.
And it stems from, you know, like I used, when I was a boarder, I would walk my one horse through the barn and I'd be like, well, it's one horse. You know, that's kind of where my charging fee for service, you know, but what if every one person just brings one horse through, you know, so that's where kind of my you can't sweep. I try to sweep and ask everybody to, even if it's just one horse walking through the barn.
I feel like every horse owner and barn owner has their thing that really is like important to them. Yeah. Sweeping is definitely your thing. You wouldn't even like to look at the sight of my barn right now.
I think one of the other things that I really appreciate just is communication. So, you know, a lot of, I see it's the norm where there are group chats, your Facebook chats or whatnot. But even though I live on the property and we do our checks and everything like that, but there's always something that the horses have destroyed. and so being, you know, or if there's something that someone's not happy about, like I do my best, but I'm also a single woman running this ranch, that I can only see so much with my two eyes when my main focus is making sure that there are four hooves down on every animal. So, you know, just to send me a message, if you know this string of wire is down or things like that, I really welcome that communication. I know that that's not always comfortable for boarders to bring that up. I don't know if they maybe think that it's, you know, a slight or anything like that, but I just really appreciate it. So I can just put it on the list and understand whether it's urgent or something that I can get to. So I love that. I love communication, really encourage, you know, back and forth conversation with expectations, both for horse care and, you know, facility care.
I love that because when Nadine asked me to write out boarding do's and don'ts, the very first thing I wrote down was communication with a period. And it really, like you said, it goes for both sides. The boarder and the barn owner need to be able to have those clear lines of communication. And if there is an expectation, like your expectation of sweeping or the expectation of something to do with the boarder or a question, it's really important to communicate it to avoid making any sort of assumptions. And then those unspoken expectations can lead to either feeling let down or disappointed when really the channels of communication just hadn't been opened yet. So I love that you brought up, I love the first thing was sweeping. I do enjoy that. and I do appreciate that. But the communication, it really is a number one to having any relationship work. And this is, it's, you know, like you said a couple of times, this is your home. So, you know, if you really feel like you can't have those conversations, then things can get a little awkward.
Okay. So there are a few things that can go wrong. And I just want to be clear about those sorts of things. People can get in disagreements. There can be resentment of the boarder by the barn owner. There can be hired help that isn't providing the care as expected. Because maybe the barn owner just owns the barn and doesn't actually do the stuff, do the chores and things like that. There can be changing of rules and not clear communication about those things. There could be unsafe practices, hopefully not, but you never know. And there can be different opinions on care leading to disagreement. So those are the kind of things. And I'm not necessarily saying that we all have felt those things. I'm just saying those are specific examples of ways that things could go wrong in a situation where you're boarding or you have other horses boarding at your barn. And so let's just go directly down our list, and because we have a lot of do's and don'ts, and I think these are really great tips for people who either board or take boarders in. So some, these are a mixture of either for the owner of the horse or the owner of the barn.
All right. Sounds good. So we talked about communication, super important. Use of proper contracts to avoid future misunderstandings and set expectations appropriately. I think that's really important because anytime money's involved with anything, then situations can occur. Even if you really, all you have to look at is when money gets involved with families and you look at the conflict that can happen within a family unit around money, you can then just take the family out of it and put horses into it. And you know that there's a possibility of conflict there. So having things like contracts, you know, put into place, it really can help to just mitigate those misunderstandings because it makes things incredibly clear. Is that something that you see used often, Adele?
I think it's becoming more commonplace, but it's also easy to, you know, like, oh, well, I know them, or I'll get that to them, or, you know, this, that, and the next thing. And, you know, we have I have a contract. I fully admit that I am at times lax at, you know, getting it to the owner. You know, we'll have our barn rules posted, but currently on the bulletin board, page one is missing and I haven't replaced it yet, you know? So, but I think I've always been a fan of good paper makes good friends. And even at that, emotions can skew the interpretation of words as well. So, I mean, anything can happen, but I think that's the foundation of your best chance at a peaceful relationship.
Interesting. When we started using, I'm also like you, and contracts are, I think they're fantastic. However, it is so easy to be like, oh, I know them. And then you just don't actually do the things, cross the T's and dot the I's that you know you really should. But I did have a period where I was quite strict on it, where I said, okay, this is what we're going to do. And liability alone, it's important to be able to do those things as a barn owner. And so I was doing that. And I actually had a situation where someone was offended that I asked them to sign a contract, and they took it away and needed like quite a few days to process this whole fact that I had asked them to sign a contract. And I think that that's just showing that it's not as commonplace as maybe it should be. And that it's a conversation that maybe needs to be had more often around boarding or even training, bringing horses in for training.
It's true. And yeah. And I think changing the tone around that feeling of attack, because the most important thing to me out of that contract, is people understand, or is me understanding, who would you like me to use in the event of an emergency, and how much money do I have authorized to spend on your horse if I can't get a hold of you?
Absolutely.
Are the biggest things.
Yeah. And if people put themselves in your position, then it's easier to understand. I think I love the part of, what was it? Paper makes good friends or something.
Yeah. Good paper makes good friends.
That would be like my motto.
That's your motto. That's great.
Okay. So contracts, and then also explain why things are done the way they're done so that others can understand. So that could be feeding times, turnout, rules for the arena, et cetera. I think explanation, communication, it's all great.
Yeah. And understanding, like when we talk about the why, that really comes down to like why we would even be doing this episode, why we do any of the episodes that we do, is understanding the why behind what you do. So if there's something that comes up and a barn owner says to you, you know, this is a new rule that's coming into place, or this is a rule that maybe I forgot to communicate and it's really important to me. And if it gives you a little bit of like, that feeling of, why, then it's really important to ask that question. Why is that a rule? Why is that important to you? And I can guarantee as a barn owner, they likely have a very strong why if they're willing to take you aside and actually communicate with you. One of my huge things, and actually two. So one would be no walking underneath cross ties with horses, like take the time, unclip that cross tie. We've had two incidents when I was not in the alley where somebody just casually walked under and the horn caught the cross tie, and the horse that was on the cross tie is very sensitive. Like it could have created a lot of trauma for the horse and a dangerous situation. So I'm quite particular about that. And my husband's very particular about putting lead lines on halters and not just leading a horse just by the halter. So those are two things that he and I are, you know, if we had more borders, that would be in our contract saying like, these are things that we would like to see done.
Yeah. And I think that, so those were definitely two safety examples. And I've learned a few things from boarding that were more about like facilities management that you might not understand if you'd never really owned a barn or had an arena before. Because for example, we had an outdoor arena at the old barn I used to board at, and they didn't want us to ride if it had rained a bunch. You know, I might be like, well, it's not really that muddy or there's not a lot of puddles, but they were like, you're going to dig up the base of the arena if you ride around in a wet outside arena. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Then, you know, it's just something that needed to be explained so that a person would understand if they've never owned something like that or never had to pay for it before.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, one of the things that Nadine, you just kind of mentioned it, you know, like when you boarded versus like having your own horses, it's, one of the things like as a barn owner I've had to release is there's a fine line between understanding that nobody will take the care of my place the same way that I will, or the same way that the boarding facility across the road wants their place taken. And until you own a barn, or house it for a barn. I'm very lucky that a couple of my boarders actually will do long-term sitting for me, and their perception of the standard of care changes when they have to be responsible for it. So it's not that I expect everybody to, but just to keep that like in mind that, you know, I've never kept horses on my own property before. So to be that open mind, if the lead line thing seems a little bit over the top, you know, until you've had that experience or owned your own barn or paid for that base to come in, it's a hard thing to appreciate. Just so to like keep an open mind on both sides, I try to think that like nobody will take care of it the way I will. But at the same time, then I ask those boarders to be like, if this was your house, would you leave that there?
Exactly. And so that leads us into some more do's, which would be respect the rules, respect requests, policies, animals, and other people. This includes people's property, their time, and their space.
Adele, where I live, my house is not on the property that our barn is. So I only have a private barn where my house is. Do you see all of the cars that come into your driveway? Like, do you have a time where it's now, okay, you know, 8 o'clock and I don't have people coming into the driveway? I know that, like, for my husband, when he's riding and he can hear trucks and things going for the business, it takes his attention away and it makes him just like a little stressed because he's thinking about work when he's supposed to be thinking about the horses. So do you have any, where it's on your property, do you have any rules around timelines and just respecting the fact that this is your home?
Yeah, absolutely. I am very lucky that like the landscape is set up very well thought out. So my home is tucked away. We are in a lot of trees and things like that here. So my home is tucked away. And in my rules, it does mention that the residence is private. So if I'm out at the barn, I'm happy to have a conversation. But if you need me or you see my truck at the house, I still expect you to phone or message as if my residence wasn't, I wasn't maybe 400 meters away. And we also do have hours. If anybody needs to, I don't close the barn per se or lock any gates or whatnot, but I ask if they come before 7 a.m. or after 8 p.m. That they give me a heads up because I do have alarms and cameras and things like that. And so it just kind of precludes me from heading out there or sending the dogs out or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's great. Sorry, Nikki.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Nadine.
Well, no, it just leads us into the next one, which would be to ask questions and meet the people, check out the barn before you decide to barn at any location. And the same goes for the barn owners, to ask about the horse's personality, their quirks, their medical needs, etc. And then the human's plans and barn habits. And maybe to some that might seem like a lot to think about before they decide to board. And maybe you don't even have a lot of options. But I think, for example, if they tend to ride late at night, are you okay with that as the barn owner? Is it okay for you to, for somebody to come in and ride at 9 o'clock and have your lights on until 10 or 11?
That is definitely, Nadine, I love that you brought that up because that is definitely something that we have navigated and having to, and actually COVID really helped with the situation. But we had a group of younger riders for a period of time that riding actually became the social thing. So their Friday nights, they would come in and they would grab a beer or two, and their social time would also be down in the arena. And then you also see the change in the cost because of the lights. So then you also have the risk of the lights being left on, and we have a daughter, and you know, we don't want to stay at the barn that late because we spent our entire day at the barn. So then you have that little bit of a worry about what happens if, let's say, somebody were to light a cigarette or bring in a friend that isn't familiar with horses, or, you know, it's those potential situations. So we had to have conversations around that, that we just didn't even realize we needed to have at the time. And it's not necessarily like, oh, we want to control the space as much as it can be a liability.
Yeah, it can be a liability. And I think it's just something that if you know to ask those questions or to think about that before deciding to board in a place or before deciding to take on a barn or a boarder, it's just nice to make sure it's the right fit. Before I go to the new boarding place I'm going to go to, I asked what's your busy times? Are there times where your arena is closed? Are there times when you have lessons every day? Because my plan is to drop my son off from school and go ride. And so I know from prior history, if the horses are going out in the morning, that might mean that I have to ask them to leave my horse in for me so that I can ride. And then I have to be the one to turn my horse out. So I have to make sure he's properly cooled out and blanketed myself to turn him out. And then they'll bring him back in later. So those are the weird things that I think about, because you can't just go ride your horse at, I don't know, 10 o'clock and then put him back in the barn and expect somebody's going to go turn him out later. They're already turned out.
Yeah, definitely.
Super good points.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to talk about this one, Nadine, because it's a huge one. It's really important to be able to say, like, okay, if my horse poops in the arena, that you clean up the arena. And then for you, Adele, you talked about the importance of the cleanliness of your alley. So, you know, if it happens in the alley, making sure that you're cleaning up those public areas and those walkways, before you go off and like do something that makes you forget, actually putting it into your routine, is the best way. So oftentimes, like, I make my horse walk around with me through the arena, as I clean up after my ride.
Yeah, absolutely.
You nailed it there. Sorry, Adele, go ahead.
No, I was just going to totally agree. You know, we do have lots of trails here where we are. So kind of the biggest thing that I've had to kind of reinforce here was like, if your horse goes in between the bar, their tie rail, and the end of my driveway, like, even if it's in the grass, I have to mow the grass, you know, and all of that type of stuff. So they're like, why, we have a 400 yard driveway, so it's long, but I mean, you got to go out there with the pitchfork or get off it at least and like kick it off the road and things like that. So it's hard to, again, that appreciate, it's just one poop or it's just one, you know, hoof print or whatnot. But again, if every single horse did it, I think that's the principle of it, you know, that Nikki kind of irks you and me too.
Yeah. And that's been drilled into me for sure. And I feel bad if someone else, so for example, if a horse gets turned out in an arena on a bad day or something, and then there's several poops in there, and God forbid somebody puts a flake of hay in there.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
a mess. You really have to clean that stuff up. And I like what you said, Nikki, about doing things that make you forget. And sometimes I think it's like purposeful, not incompetence, but just you're oblivious. Like, you're purposefully oblivious that you're just like, I'm just going to go do this and I'll do it later, when you know you're just going to forget to do it. And so I think it's important to do it immediately, not so that your horse doesn't stand in their poop and smoosh it all into the ground and make it a bigger mess than it needs to be. And these are the silliest things, it sounds like, but it's just something that I think that a barn owner would appreciate.
Yes, yep. Definitely. I think above and beyond anything, if you are at a facility that keeps quality footing, being sure that you pick up your manure in that arena, that allows for the quality footing to be maintained as well. And also, oh, this is a huge one, and I didn't even add it to the list, Nadine, would be watering of the arena. My husband is like fanatic to the point where we have a leaf blower that he uses for the dust if it gets too dusty. Just making sure that you're contributing to the barn being as tidy as possible, because again, like, he'll say to me, I know it was just one ride in the dusty arena, but if you look at the tack that's in the arena, or you look at the banners that are in the arena after one dusty ride, then you can see what that does, and then add a week to that. And it just creates a huge job for someone to do who is looking for the work versus someone to do that's just walking in and riding and peacing out.
Yeah.
Okay. So I did add it to the list, but I had thought drag or maintain the arena properly if its use is included in board. So that's a good question of like, if you're saying that we have an indoor arena and it is part of the board that you pay, mm-hmm. do you expect other people to rake and water your arena, or is that the barn owner's job to do?
Okay. Really good question. And my power just went out.
Okay. So I'm sorry to tell you that Nikki's power has gone out, and for the rest of the interview, it's just going to be Adele and myself, and we're going to try and get through this without Miss Porter. And hopefully we can continue and do justice to the rest of our do's and our don'ts for boarding. So I had just been talking about who is responsible for the maintenance of the arena and if the boarders should be the ones that are raking and watering. What do you think, Adele?
I mean, speaking personally, I take it on as my responsibility, to keep it tilled and harrowed and all of those things like that. It's an outdoor arena here, so we just rely on God and the universe for our rain and water, but, it's something that we do take on here. And then just with the expectation that, the manure is scooped and things like that after riding, and yeah, that obstacles and things like that are put away if used and whatnot. But other than that, the maintenance, unless one of my boarders that I do trust and has equipment experience wants to do some trade to work off board.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Like some people might not want others to be raking their arena for the footing or for the using the machinery and things like that. So it probably is an individual preference. And it also might go into the line of it may not be required. You may be paying your board, but it might also be appreciated if you did rake the arena once in a while or throw some water on it or whatever. One of the other things would be just a do to label your stuff or buy everything in one color. And that just makes it easier so that things don't get lost and everybody knows whose is what, right?
Yeah, no, that's super smart. And keep your cubby and things like that. And yeah.
Yeah, for most places we'll give you either a locker or your own little cupboard or just to keep your own area tidy, keep your stuff in your own area. That makes the most sense to put your stuff away. One of the other things would be to, this was one of that Nikki had an idea for, and I think that she has a feeling personally about it, but it would be to communicate the energy levels of the horse to the people responsible for the feed. And
oh yeah,
I think to translate that is like if a horse is a super high energy, they don't need a bunch of feed.
Yeah, absolutely. Our rule here, like nobody gets fed anything aside from, you know, primary forage unless it's requested by the owner. And usually being I do nutrition consults, we have that conversation about the workload of the horse, the age of the horse, the expectations. And then, you know, aside from the occasional treat, you know, what or if anything is necessary.
Yeah. And that is one of those things that I think is appreciated by a boarder when the feed is given individual to the horse and not just everybody gets 3/4 of a scoop or whatever, you know, it's different for each horse. One that personally I think is really nice is to allow boarders to learn from whoever they feel fits them best, whether that's because of their style, their discipline, or their personality, either at or away from your barn. So if you don't want them learning from anyone else while they're boarding at your barn where you can't respect differing opinions, just make that clear before allowing them to bring your horse in. Because I've heard of people who board horses and maybe they give lessons themselves and they make it hard for the other boarders to learn from anyone else.
Yeah, that would, if I was back boarding, that would probably, you know, everybody has to make their own decision. But for me personally, I'm a huge advocate of, you know, who can I learn something from, you know, and it doesn't have to be an entire philosophy, but whether it's my hoof trimming or my nutrition or anything like that, I think, or a clinician, the more that we can learn from is how we can really advance the industry as a whole, you know, not just boarding, but the whole care that we give to our horses. So, you know, I would even encourage other stables to, you know, encourage as much learning as possible because none of us know everything there is to know about horses. You know, the best of us are lifelong learners. So but if you do have expectations, definitely be very clear on those before intake.
Yeah. And around here, not a lot of barns are specialized to one particular discipline. There are a few, but you may have a barn that has a reiner and they have a pleasure rider and they may have an English rider or a dressage rider. And it's not necessarily everybody's doing the same thing. So to have everybody having to learn from one person or feeling pressured to do things a particular way, it makes it difficult. Or if somebody is judged because they do natural horsemanship or because they want to do positive reinforcement or things like that, it's just, I think an open mind and a positive atmosphere is going to be best for everybody and help the equestrian community, just like you just said.
Yeah, absolutely.
So another thing would be, another do is to make it clear how medical emergencies and first aid are handled and who is expected to do what in a situation where a horse needs routine medical care. And you had touched earlier on who do I call in a medical emergency? How much money can I spend? I think that setting that up for success before there's ever a problem is really important.
Yeah. And if I can add one piece of safety advice to either, whether it be a boarding owner or a boarder, is to have posted and know where your land location is, as well as the GPS coordinates. So those are posted in our shop and they're also provided to everybody. I encourage them to keep them in their phone because if there is an emergency when you're out rural and we need, whether it's STARS, our helicopter ambulance needs the GPS location or the land location, is a super important thing to make sure everybody knows where they can find it or they should have it on hand.
Wow, that is really good advice for sure. The last one I have is to provide extra or premium services at a cost if it's not something you want to include with the basic board, but that you see there is a need for it or if people are requesting. So the blanketing is one I think that comes up time and time again. If it's something that really bugs you and you don't want to do, don't include it in your board unless you want to charge more for it and then you feel okay with doing it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things coming from my professional background with mental health is if something irks you, it's usually related to a boundary you need to put in place.
Nikki would love that. For sure. And I think it's if something's irking you or if it feels a certain way, I think it's just, again, go back to the communication and clarify the expectations with people so that it's out in the open and it's not just a simmering resentment with somebody. I think there's so much positive to gain from being in a boarding experience. And I think it just needs to be that positive communication and open dialogue of what is expected between one person and the other.
Yep. You bet.
So we do have some don'ts. And oh, did you have any other do's to add to the list or did we cover basically everything?
I think that's a huge, lots of stuff there.
Okay. So we'll try and get through these. I think that they are mostly pretty self-explanatory. Don't forget that time and money is required to have optimal care for horses. If you are questioning the costs or changes to costs, ask why, but be open to understanding that, for example, you said hay is hard to come by. Sometimes people have to haul it in from a long ways or that price of hay goes up. The price of board has to go up accordingly.
Yeah, absolutely. And nothing hurts my heart more than having to increase board or say this is going to be charged for or saying here's what's included in base board and then trying to figure out costs. I have so many conversations with other, you know, barn owners or confidants and things like that. I'm like, what would you pay for 3 times a week, 30 minute free walker sessions? You know, what should I charge? I can't do it for free, but my horse is going to be on the walker too. So maybe I should, you know, like me personally, because I love what I do. Like this is a lifestyle before a business. It hurts me to have to charge for things, but most of our time is my time is donated, honestly, at the end of the P&L after the bills are paid and the tractor and the fuel. So, I think that this is such a timely podcast to just bridge that gap between boarders and boarding stable owners and bring forward this type of information.
I think that there's such a range of services offered that people who want the bare minimum services and that can only afford those things, because when I was a struggling student, or when I first had a horse, I could not afford to pay extra for this and that. But right now I would pay money to have somebody have my horse on a walker to get her back, because she's been off for a year and a half and she had laminitis and she needs that. And probably a lot of us just don't have time in our day to be walking for 30 minutes, 2 or 3 times a day. It just might be that much easier that you'd be worth it to pay for it. So I would say, don't cut yourself short and charge for it. Just pay or charge what you would expect to pay.
Yeah. And at the same time, if you are someone who's on a budget and need to board your horse, don't be afraid to maybe to offer to exchange your board or whatnot. I'm happy to trade board for labor for many of the things that are happening here. So, you know, if it cost gets increased or things like that, definitely encourage people to have that conversation. If you do have more time than money at that point in time of your life, to offer to maybe do some trades.
That is a great point, because around here, people are crying for barn help. You know, it's really hard to get people to come in the morning and the evening to do barn chores. And I think that boarders are a great way to make that work for that trade. So one of the other don'ts is don't hog the arena or disrespect people who need to use it at the same time. I think a lot of arenas have either a schedule or people put up their lesson time if it's going to be someone that has to use the arena alone, or you use it together, but you're respectful of other people's space or if they need, you know, a little more attention for a specific horse.
Yeah, absolutely. And that comes down to some, even just like, you could probably do a whole seminar on arena etiquette, you know, pass left to left and walk on the inside rail, you know, like that type of stuff. And sometimes people don't know that and it needs to be talked about or posted or whatnot, but that's just kind of another level of understanding how to use the arena in accordance with the time that you're using it as well.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Like we were saying, don't leave stuff out, make sure you put them away. One of the things that always irks me with my husband, and this is something that's just a trigger for me, but is if you're riding with a bunch of people, to not leave that one person alone, unless you've said, is it cool if we go? Because there are horses that really like get wound up when they get left alone immediately, you know, everybody just decides to leave. And it might not be a big thing to most horses, but to some, it's like, well, I was just in the last 5 minutes of my ride and I was just about to get off too. But if you walk out, now I got to spend another 30 minutes getting in the right head frame so I can leave. And I think that's just etiquette, right?
Yeah, you bet.
Another one is, this is what Nikki was talking about earlier, is don't hesitate to lend a hand, even if it isn't your job per se. Maybe you sweep the alley, even though you didn't make a mess in it today, just because you had an extra 10 minutes. So you swept, or you picked up the poop in the pasture, or you checked the water, or you checked the fence line and let somebody know it was down. I think that is appreciated on both sides.
Yeah, absolutely. And things, you know, so, 'cause usually in the equine industry, it's a leave it as you found it type of thing. You know, that's like, you know, if the gate was closed, the gate was meant to be closed. If it was open, it was meant to be open, you know, but actually kind of changing that conversation to, if that doesn't look normal or what is usual, don't be afraid to reach out to your barn owner and say, hey, the north pasture gate is closed. Is it supposed to be, you know, that's really opening things like that up.
Yeah, that is definitely a great point. Invite trainers or coaches in. Oh, so this is a don't. Don't invite trainers or coaches in for lessons without checking that it is all right or if payment is required. So this is the other side of that about allowing other trainers to come in for lessons. But I also think it's important for the boarder to be sure that it's okay to invite someone in for a lesson and to see if they need to pay an arena fee for that lesson. I've heard of times where the instructor that comes in pays the barn owner for the use of that arena for that time.
Right. Yeah. I think wanting to bring anybody onto the property, I ask to be, whether it, maybe it's a family member or whatnot, you know, for even for an insurance point of view, like I would need to recheck my insurance. Does it cover just the horse owner, or does it cover anybody they bring in? What if their farrier gets hurt on my property? So I do ask to be, not every single time, but like, this is my farrier or who I'm choosing to use alternatively. And this is when I have an appointment, that they're going to be on the facility. And just, you know, when your stable is also your home, I think there's a respect factor that the owner of the property, it's a very nice gesture for them to know who is coming onto their yard.
Absolutely. Yeah. And one thing that we didn't have on the list, but I think is really important, is to drive with care when you're coming in somebody's driveway. There are dogs, there are animals around, there may be chickens, there may be kids. And so for anybody that comes in doing 60 kilometers an hour down a long driveway, it's just really poor manners.
Yeah, I think if I were to add a pet peeve of mine, it was, I have multiple signs posted like reduce speed, dogs at large and horse crossings and things like that. And I'll look back on my camera debrief and I'm like, that is way too fast, you know? So I 100% agree. You can't go too slow in a farmyard.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even have borders here, but my dogs are outside all the time. I live in the back country. And the delivery drivers, because I order everything online, they will sometimes come up too fast. And the dogs don't know who's here, so they go running. And it's just, you expect people to drive appropriately when they come into your yard.
Yeah.
Another thing is, don't expect extra benefits or services that are not offered or without offering payment. So if you have to ask somebody for a favor, it's important to ask, you know, what can I pay you for this? If you want somebody to trailer your horse or be there for the farrier, I think it's really important to ask to pay for that service instead of just offering it as a favor.
Yeah, definitely. I think it goes back to that. Like if we can, like the conversation I have to have with myself to ask boarders to have that conversation. So be like, if I just need to ask her to do this one thing for me, if they were like, if everybody else asked her, the barn owner, to do that, is that fair? You know, so that kind of checkpoint can work both ways.
Yeah. And actually I had my horse somewhere one time and it was just a private barn and I was paying for board, but she would also ask me to come and feed the horses or do chores sometimes. And I didn't mind doing it. I didn't have a kid at the time, but it's also that you have to be respectful of the boarders as well. If you're asking them to do extra things without having a discount board or, you know, offering extra things for them. Because if I'm paying you for board and then I'm feeding your horses for a weekend, a month, and taking care of the chores, that's something else, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It wouldn't even cross my mind. I always try to either take board off or return the favor or this, that, the next thing. And it definitely has, and that's where it gets tough when you're kind of your little boarding group becomes a family, is to have, that's even more important to have those conversations of fairness and where the balance is and things like that.
Right. Another, don't attempt to save money by cutting corners that may lessen proper horse care. So for example, supplying low quality hay, providing minimal bedding, or not cleaning your horses out properly. If you need to charge more because you can't afford to provide the proper care at the price you're charging, you need to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Horse care, I mean, this is the first and foremost priority aside from any of our feelings, boarder, boardie, is the care and husbandry of the horse, we have to remember.
Yeah, and it's just, you're going to have healthier horses and happier horses if they're cared for properly. And by slighting the horses on those things because of money, it makes it just not fair.
Yeah.
Here's something that I think that you might have some opinion on, and I know Nikki would as well. This was one of the things that I had thought of, is don't make it a habit to ask the trainer's advice or the barn owner's advice if you're not paying them for their services. I'm sure people don't mind being asked one way or the other, what's your opinion? But for example, you have a lot of knowledge and you do a lot of extra things that come above and beyond boarding. And I'm sure that if people were asking you your advice constantly, you wouldn't be able to keep up.
Yeah. And that is something that I learned and had a different level of perspective on being a boardie at one point in time. And, you know, thinking I had access to somebody because I boarded there, you know, that I had to kind of learn and probably abused when I boarded my own horse at another facility. But it's a double-edged sword because I love to talk about horses and we provide tons of free content on our social media platforms and things like that. So I do it because I love it, but sometimes I have to check myself and, you know, reel in a conversation and things like that. So it's a very good point. And yeah, one that I think everybody can be cognizant of. And it's not that I don't like you or I don't want to have that conversation with you. It's just, the chores never end. And unless you want to come fix fence along with me and I'll talk about whatever, you can ask me whatever you want. If you're holding the wire or things like that, I'll happily trade knowledge for labor.
Yeah, it's true. And horse people are so passionate. It's just something you live all the time. And I know with Nikki and her husband, Mike, I mean, Mike just thinks horses 24/7. There's never a time that he would not be thinking or talking about horses. So it's definitely in them to want to help people, especially when somebody comes to them with problems. I just think you have to work to not take advantage, like you said, of those people that you're going to for advice. And a lot of times in the horse training world, the trainers are going back and forth to each other. I'll ask you a question, you'd come to me if you need help, and this and that. So it's definitely people going to each other for advice. I think it's just when you go over and above, when you're constantly going to someone when they're in the middle of something else, or if they're riding their horse and you're making it about you. It's just, I think the respect piece there and being understanding of what's happening in the moment.
Yeah.
One more thing on the don'ts list. And I can't say that I've seen this happen, but I'm sure that somebody has done this. Don't take your personal feelings out on the horses. So for example, if one of the boarders has been bugging you, if you're feeling angry about that, and then you are extra aggressive with their horse that day, you're yanking on their lead rope or pushing them around, or can you imagine, like a human, we have emotions. And for some reason, I'm guessing that some people would take that out on a horse.
I certainly hope not, but I guess I could see, you know, yeah. I'm harder on horse owners than I am on horses. Personally, I advocate so hard for us to do better for our horses, but yes, absolutely. They don't have to stay in our fences. They don't have to let us on their back. They don't have to do anything. Me handling someone else's horse, they could strike me, you know, to the ground at any point in time. So yeah, definitely need to take a step back if there's any sort of aggression coming out against an animal, for some feelings or boundaries or conversations that you need to have or insert would be paramount.
Yeah, if you're getting annoyed at a horse that is a bundle of energy because they haven't been ridden in a month, that is a conversation to have with the owner to get them some more exercise, not to, you know, be down on the horse because he's feeling himself because he hasn't had enough exercise. So just about a conversation. So I think we have given some people a few things to talk about, Adele. This has gone on for a while. I think it's something we've really needed to talk about for a long time. And thank you for giving out so much advice. Before we finish up and move on, do you mind sharing a couple of your most favorite or most helpful tips with our listeners?
For sure. Do you want it to be related to boarding or just about horses in general?
Whatever you would like. This is like Prime Equine gives a lot of horse care tips. So I want to know what your best ones are.
Awesome. Okay. So my three favorite horse care tips or pieces of advice that I would love to see really ramped up in our industry. One is balancing primary forage before adding supplements. So we talk a lot about nutrition as a big passion of mine. So again, balancing your hay, testing your hay, testing your pasture before we supplement, it will save you money in the long run as well, although it might sound tedious. The second one is learning what a healthy hoof looks like. We have a course on that. And I think that horse owners can have a lot to learn about the health of a hoof and how that plays into their overall soundness and everything that we ask them to do. We all know no hoof, no horse. So I think we have some learning to do in that industry as horse owners. And my third one is about prehab. We teach a lot about prehab. So that ties into the whole horse health days we talked about, is getting at things before you see a visible lameness or before you have a really outward behavioral change in your horse. So really understanding what their normal is, having regular body work on a horse that is in regular work, speeding up the timeline of our hoof care visits and things like that. So proper conditioning for the job we ask them to do, as well as cross training for those jobs. I think that all ties into prehab. So those are my top three things for my wish for the horse industry.
Oh my gosh, I love all of them, all of them. So we've had an equine nutritionist on here talking about that stuff. And I totally agree. Testing your hay seems tedious, but very important. Clearly the experts are saying this is what we need to do. Supplements are expensive, much more expensive than just testing your hay and making, because most horses just need hay. And then the hoof care, absolutely agree. We've had two farriers on here. Well, maybe one farrier so far, but I agree. We don't know what a healthy hoof looks like. I have so many questions about hoof care. I'm definitely going to go check out what you have on your website about that, because I think it's so important and I cannot answer a lot of those questions for myself. So, and it's, I find that with hoof issues, it has become for me, which I don't like, more of a deal with it when the situation comes up. And that's not ideal, because if we can prevent an issue, then that's better. And then the last thing is something that Nikki and I really want to talk a lot about, would be the prehab stuff. I didn't know that was a word. Is that what it's called? Prehab?
That's what we call it. Again, we coined boutique boarding, we coined prehab. I'm not sure.
Well, yeah, I think it's really important to take care of your horses' bodies, especially if you expect them to do a lot of performance. So thank you so much for that. Our last thing, what we do is a little segment called Do You Tell Me Yours? I'll Tell You Mine. And today we wanted to talk about personal relationships that we've made because of boarding. So I think that what happens is we get into a boarding situation and then we spend a lot of time at the barn, and some of those people become very close and often like family. Do you have a situation like that that you want to share, Adele?
Yeah, I would love to. I do have several. I have several relationships that would not exist if it wouldn't have been having horse owners, horses at my barn. But probably my favorite story to date is my one boarder, Alyssa. So she came to look at my barn. She didn't move immediately. She came several months, if not a year later, when I moved to my new facility a couple years ago. And she's a little me. I actually call her my foster child. she calls me her horse mom. And what we've been able to build She's one of those people who will ask me a ton of questions, but then gives me service back. So we have a very give and take relationship. She's someone that I can call and say, hey, I can't make it. Can you go change the donkey's blankets for me? So we have a very give and take relationship, but it's been able to blossom into the evolution of my business because Alyssa is actually my social media manager. So she shoots my content. She responds to, usually if you're talking to Prime Equine on social media, you're usually chatting and interacting with Alyssa, which allows me to work on the business and create the content and the ideas behind it so we can execute it for all of our followers. But that is probably my most favorite relationship and honestly a friendship that will, I'm sure, span our lifetimes. So very grateful for that experience that boarding that relationship blossomed from.
That is great. Yes, I have definitely talked to Alyssa myself. And to meet someone who you can trust so much with your business, with your animals, with your own, you know, all of your own responsibilities, to share that and then also have that person as a friend is really, really important. So I'm glad that you found her. Nikki had a story. She met Madison about 3 or 4 years ago. They had a friend of theirs asking if a young lady could board her new horse there for a couple of weeks. She fit in so well at the Barn family and with the Barn family that she and her horse have just never left. They love seeing her come into the barn and watching her grow as a person and a horsewoman. She has an incredible work ethic and offers a helping hand anytime we need it. Nikki says that she makes their barn a better place for sure. And I've met Madison and she's a wonderful girl. You wouldn't think that she was just a teenager when I met her. She's still a teenager, but she's so mature and she's so great to have around to help out and to just be one of the, she's like one of the adults hanging out, you know. It's great when you have younger people coming up that have that work ethic with the horsemanship as well.
That's amazing.
We put this out to our listeners as well. And Cassie sent us a message to say that she met her very best friend when they were boarding horses at the same barn together. Aww. I was talking to my husband yesterday and I said, it was really hard for me as a kid, as a younger kid, not having people who were as obsessed with horses as I was. Mm-hmm. And once you get into that horse world, everybody is obsessed with horses. So you have so much in common, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a whole nother world.
Yeah. I mean, I had to beg my best friend as I'm talking maybe like 10 to 12 years old when we just were neighbors and she was my best friend. And I had to beg her to come to the barn with me and I'd make her go ride my pony and stuff. It wasn't until I was, 16, 17, when I got around people that loved horses that just wanted to talk about it all day. So my story actually is about boarding. And when I first moved to Nova Scotia with my horse, I ran into someone I knew in PEI, where I'm from, was telling her the story about how I was looking for a place to board with an indoor. And she gave me a name of someone who lived only 15 minutes away here in Nova Scotia. So I called them up and we went and talked to them, Steve and Debbie Murphy. And instantly we were like, this place is beautiful. This is a perfect place for me to take my horse. And so we were there for 5 years and Steve and Debbie have absolutely become like family. They're always there to help. And, we don't board there anymore. It's been a couple of years, but once you've been so close with someone and you see them almost every day and you go through the ups and downs of horse ownership, people become like family when things are handled well. So yeah. I definitely have that relationship. All right, Adele, it's been a long episode. We went through a lot. We lost Nikki. I just want to thank you so much for being here with us. And can you just let everyone know where they can learn more about Prime Equine? Because I think some people are going to come find you.
Absolutely. We would love that. So our website is primeequine.ca. You can find us on Instagram at Prime Equine with an underscore at the end and at Prime Equine Health on Facebook.
Awesome. All right. Well, we hope to talk to you again soon, Adele. Have a great day.
Amazing. Thanks.
Thanks for listening today.
If you know a fellow Canadian equestrian or equine business you think needs to be highlighted on the show, be sure to email podcast@informedequestrian.com so we can be in touch.
And if you enjoyed today's episode, the best way to send us some love is by sharing about Canada Horse Podcast and Informed Equestrian with your friends.
And leaving a review is always appreciated. Your support means the world to us.
Until next time.
Right on, Canada.